The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the Magi had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod had died, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." He rose, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea, in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go back there. And because he had been warned in a dream, he departed for the region of Galilee. And he went to dwell in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled: "He shall be called a Nazarene." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm not sure what images you have of the Holy Family, but I remember when I was a little kid, I thought holy meant perfect. Like all the saints, they seem to be perfect. But imagine if your whole life was condensed down into like three sentences. Right? You wouldn't put any struggles in there. You wouldn't put any imperfections in there. You just write all the good stuff they did, because we're setting these saints up as models for us. The church, in celebrating the Feast of the Holy Family, has this reading. Next year we'll hear, right, Mary and Joseph losing their child in the temple, or the little rebellious teenager Jesus sneaking off and hiding in Jerusalem for 3 days, depending on your interpretation. Either way, Joseph, who's been dragged around by an angel, right, he's like, "No more dreams, please." And yet, he's willing to follow God's command. And it saves the life of his child. And it saves, in fact, all of our lives. The Holy Family is not set up as a model of perfection, but as a model of obedience to God's will. And I'd suggest that the times where I have injured my family members, I've not been doing God's will. Right? I've been doing my own selfish, small-heartedness. And that's when my brothers and sisters have been beaten to a pulp, or my littlest brother was zipped up into a dive bag and lowered into the pool. We pulled him out. But I'm just glad Trent, who's now, 6'4 and 235, doesn't really remember that. Or if he does, he's just a lot kinder than he should be. Right? We do awful things to our family members because, well, they're closest to us and they get some of our best moods, but often most of our worst. We're gentler to the stranger on the street who cuts us off than our family member who forgets to buy the milk or eats the last cookie, God forbid. What is it with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph that God is showing us? That if we stay close to God, even in the most awful suffering, we can be holy. Right? Holy means to be close to God. Holy means to be filled with God's Spirit. Holy means not that we're set apart, right, to be looked on high. I remember reading in the biography of Dorothy Day, she says, "Don't call me a saint. Because if you do, you won't take me seriously anymore." Right? Somehow, like Mother Teresa, St. Francis, St. Benedict, any of our saints, you go, well, that's great for them. Now, what about the rest of us? Right? Who have jobs, who have kids, who have on and on and on. The rest of us actually are called to the same holiness. And maybe if we look at the word a little bit different, put a W in front of it. Right? Put a W in front of holiness. That we might be whole. Right? That there's no pieces missing in us. Right? Often when I'm acting small, it's because I'm trying to fill one of those holes that only God's love can fill. But I think it might be better stuff. Right? That new kayak paddle's going to definitely bring me happiness. I can just feel it in my hands. I've got 6 kayak paddles in the garage. None of them have brought me happiness in the same way Jesus can. Right? They've been fun, and I loan them to friends, but they don't bring happiness. They're just, well, fiberglass or wood or plastic. They're lifeless. What we want is to be filled with divine life. And we see that in Mary and Joseph being willing to get up in the middle of the night. Do you think she packed the night before the little baby bag and was ready to go? No. You think Joseph was, you know, he had stored up a couple weeks worth of food in his satchel and was ready to head off into the desert? No. I would suggest that God calls us when we're least prepared to follow his will. And maybe that's when following it would bring us the most benefit. Now, how do we get there? How do we get to this kind of receptivity to God's Spirit? And I'd suggest it. It's in that second reading to the Colossians. Right? Anybody hear that? It sounded fantastic. And, well, pretty much impossible. Anyone? All right, open your books. Let's look at those. Sorry, I don't remember the page number.
47.
Thank you.
We got it, Mark.
All right, so as God's chosen ones, that would be everyone here, holy and beloved of God. Do I have heartfelt compassion? Right, for everyone I meet? Often, right, for the stranger, less so for my spouse or my sibling or my child or my parent. But that's where we need to be. That heartfelt compassion that sees whatever they're doing from their perspective. I remember of a story of a mental health provider who was working with the battered wife, and the ex-Marine husband called on the phone. And it was 5:30, and she knew who was calling. And she really didn't want to answer the phone because he just came across with lots of anger. And instead, she said a little prayer to the Holy Spirit and picked up the receiver. And he yelled and screamed for a good 3 minutes. And she said, you know, I hear in all of that a lot of fear. And he kept yelling. And then he started sobbing. And he finally quieted himself enough. And he said, how come you're the only person who's heard me? She wanted to say, well, you're like really big and strong and come across with a lot of anger and you make us all afraid. But she didn't say that. She said, because every father wants the best for their children. And because of the domestic violence, the child was being taken away from him. And he was afraid. Can we see our brother and sister's suffering from their perspective? I think we can. But we have to ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to it. It's powerful when we can. Right? Paul has us putting on, like layers when we go outside, all of these different wonderful gifts. Right? I've got my little vest of kindness, my scarf of humility, my little hat of gentleness, my ice spikes of patience, right, to keep me from slipping, jumping to conclusions. Do we bear with one another and forgive one another? I love this line. If any one of us has a grievance against another, right, that's probably not true here, but you know, someplace else, there might be some grievances. The Lord, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also do. Ow. Right? The mercy that I show others is the mercy God shows me. And if we forget Colossians, we should remember the Lord's Prayer. Right? Forgive us as we have forgiven others. I hate that word as. Right? Forgive me way better than I forgive others, Lord. Right? But that's all about, well, me. And what God is trying to show us is it's not about me. The Holy Family isn't about any one individual member, but it's about the human family working together. God has forgiven us and forgiven us and forgiven us. And I've been made in the image and likeness of God, and so I have that same capacity to forgive. Let the peace of Christ control your hearts. Wow. I think we can get there. Right? I think we can totally get there. You've felt the peace of Christ. You've known it. Now, how do you stay there? Well, they suggest some ways, right? Let the word of God dwell richly in you. When my answer is a piece of scripture, well, then the peace of Christ is dwelling in me. Right? When someone calls and I answer their question or concern, or their anger or violence, or their injustice with a line from scripture, then things are happening. How did Jesus resist temptation in the desert? Because he was superhuman Jesus, right? No, he was human. He was hungry. Thirsty, he wanted power and control, affection, esteem, safety, and security, just like every one of us. But instead he said, lines of scripture. And then Satan started using lines of scripture back, and Jesus gave him another line, saying, no, 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 this is in God's hands. I'm not going to tempt God. I'm not going to feast on rocks turned to bread. I'm going to feast on the word of God because it provides far more strength. So if you were wondering, right, we have a week to prepare our New Year's resolutions. There's a list right here in Colossians. You have my permission to tear this page out and take it home. Literally, no one's ever going to look at that page again. Right? We're just going to recycle it up at the dump. Take it out. Rip it out. Put it in your pocket. What's on the back? The gospel? That'd be good, too.
Four lines
of January 1st. We can get through that. Right? I mean, how many people are coming next Saturday morning? Not as many as people need to take it home today. Right, I don't want to go through every one of these today in the homily, but if you're looking for a solution to how to become the Holy Family, it's right here. Let God's word dwell richly in you. And then we answer with heartfelt compassion, kindness, mercy, forgiveness, gentleness, self-control, patience. And we don't look to the stuff, right? I need another few more catalogs, please, please, so that I can be happy. Right? All of you know that catalogs don't give happiness. People do. And the love we share. What we see in the Holy Family is not perfection. But we see love for one another, care and concern, and a willingness to get up in the middle of the night when need be, to take care of what needs to get done. No mother or father gets up in the middle of the night, right, because it's good for their health. They get up in the middle of the night to care for their child, right? And that's the great humanizing event that children bring to their parents. We learn to set ourselves aside and live that another might live. Jesus did that his entire life and calls us to do the same.